I don't know. You're hot, you're cold, you're everywhere, you're around. But it's come to Scripture, remind us of one aspect of Scripture that God gave us. when God's speaking, Jesus Christ speaking to the church in those words, what he wants is the constancy of the life of the Christian in the church. The passage we want to look at today is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 15 to 21. You had the passage I printed out there for us, both in Vietnamese and in English. Again, Philippians is a town that Paul had been spend his time there, bring the gospel to them, and they respond to preaching so well, and the church was formed. And Paul wrote the letter to the church while he was in prison. He sit in prison. His hand was tied with a Roman soldier, and wrote this letter to the church outside. And we all know that here one of the character of this epistle, this letter, is the word of rejoice. He asked the people in the town of Philippi, city of Philippi, to enter into joy that the God had given them. And I think that this may be the best relationship between Paul and the church, because the church of Philippi in Philippi support Paul wholeheartedly in his mission. And Paul write this letter in order to help the church to move on. And in chapter one he talked about the movement of the gospel forward. And the marvelous chapter 2, he talked about Jesus Christ, and he described the way Jesus Christ suffered and the inner movement of Jesus Christ going down in humility in order to be among us and also to accomplish the salvation for us. And that become a hymn, a marvelous hymn from verse 5 to verse 10. All of us know by heart, but it also tell us the step by step how Jesus Christ went through and how his life was poured out so that he can come into us, making the salvation available to us, also making the salvation effective in our life. And also, next to that, he will talk about how we live in the world. And the end of chapter 2, he talked about two marvelous persons, Timothy and another person, Epaphroditus, and two persons who is an example of how the gospel changed their life and become a kind of life that impact on people from the gospel. In chapter 3, he talked about his life. He tell us the story of his life. Where he come from? From the background of Jewish faith, and how he worked so hard to establish in the Jewish faith, and also how Jesus Christ met him. Everything he seek to establish for himself in the Jewish faith, and he succeeded very, very well. And then he talked about, tell us how when he met Jesus Christ, not just a simple meeting, encountering, but just a short time would bring a total upheaval into his life. Outwardly, but inwardly, he talked about the total loss that happened to him, the total destruction that the gospel came into his life. And then the rebuilding of his life in Jesus Christ. And if we pay attention to that, we see how he show us step by step how Jesus Christ entered his life into the detail, in the center of his life, also into detail of his life, and changed things. And he come along, and he afterward, the grace of God helping him in such a way that he can identify totally with what God is doing in his life. And he can say that, he can put everything down. And not merely in the past, but on the future, he said yes. He grasped the calling from God for future. He said, I will put everything I have into this calling. And he said that at the moment, I don't consider myself as perfect. The word perfect there is really mature. He said, yes, maturity is in degree. Thanks to God that the presence of God in my life changed my life in the right direction. And the power of God changing my life, a certain degree of maturity have been given to me. But life is going on. So I cannot rest in what I have now. Maturity is something stretched forward until eternity. So he said that he grabbed this point. He said, now I take stock of my life. I can see something God had did already in my life. I consider looking future. I can see a lot more things God wants to do in my life. So I said, I will do one thing. I will press forward and forget everything in the back and press forward. Because in front of me, there is God put something in front of me. I become a kind of magnet would attract me, would draw me totally into the future, into that goal. Before, I was distracted. Before, I was divided. But now, the miracle of grace come to my life, there is something new in my life. Instead of distraction, there is concentration. Instead of being divided, there are marvelous unity in my life. So that everything I have can focus on one point and put into that one point, pour into it, and pressing forward. I think Paul is a passionate person. And he sees that life has a meaning, has a point. And he sees that in order, life is not easy. It's just if we use the image of a clam, there are two hard shells. There's some meat inside. But the meat is not given to us freely. You have to crack, smash the shell in order to get into the meat. In some ways, anything worthwhile in life will be surrounded, will be put in a hard shell. Whether love, whether marriage, whether education, whether career, or whether art, anything worthwhile, it will be put in a hard shell. Discourage us, because outside doesn't look appealing. But inside, if the person with knowledge, with understanding, would know that outside, in through that outward, an appealing outward, there will be an inward, rich, and totally valuable. But life will not give itself to us easily. It had to be pursued. Life had to be lived every day, every moment, every minute of it. We had 24 hours a day. We had to live fully 24 hours a day. Otherwise, we lose that day. And how do we lose our life? We lose our life by we lose one day at a time. And that is very deceptive. Because we think that if we have something idea in our mind, that something in occupying our mind lofty enough, for us to sit there and to think. But it didn't come, into my life in every moment. Then that loftiness will remain in a nebulous sphere. It will never be brought into my practical life. So Paul will understand that very well. And he knows that he has only one life to live. And he knows that life will be short, like the Psalm 39 this morning we said. I look at Psalm 39 when David said, "Show me my end." I feel a kind of shudder. Can I talk to God? Show me my end. Look straight into my death and ask God, open my eyes so I can look straight to my death. It might be tough to ask God to do that, because I want to live in a pleasant mood. I would like to imagine that I have infinite life, long future. I would like to imagine, dream that I will have beautiful future in front of me. I don't want to face the black reality of my life. But when David said, "Show me my end," that's tough. Tough because you have to face yourself. So here, Paul understands that. I think that he spent a lot of time looking at his end, as the end of every human life. And then he come out, by the grace of God, come out, that I decided that if God gave me this life, and if life is given to me by salvation, not merely by creation, but by salvation too, then I will open my hand totally and grab it. Because God only gives, but it's my part to grab it. One day I read a passage to my class in the seminary, and there's one word. This is the motto of happy life. What is it? And he said the motto, without God, we can do nothing. Without God, God won't. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God won't. Without God, we cannot do things. But without us, God will not do anything. So again, Paul understands that. Without Paul, God won't do anything in his life. So now we come to the passage that we look at now. Paul talked to the people that I had told you the story of my life. And you understand how is that the turbulence that God created in my life. And I call that the turbulence of grace. The turbulence drives me hard into a new shore, new discovery, launch myself in a different orbit. And before I realized that, I was in total new sphere. And Paul said that I throw myself into that adventure that God opened before my eyes. And then verse 15 that we quote here would tell us what Paul wants us to hear. So let us read together the passage printed before us. I read one verse and you read one verse so that we can see the text in front of us. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Join with others in following my example, brothers. Take note of those who live according to the pattern we give you. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their might is unearthly things. Who by the power that enable him to bring everything under his control will transfer our lovely bodies in so that they will be like his glorious body. Next word. So you look at chapter 4, verse 1. The people he wrote, you pay attention to that. Therefore, my brothers, he called them there by my brothers. You whom I love and long for, dearly beloved, and expected, and then my joy, my crown. That, and then he repeat again, my dear friend, dearly beloved. Can you imagine in your life certain relationship with people? Can you use this word to describe the people you are related with? Is it possible for me to relate to people with this word? Brother, sister, I love, I cherish, I long for, I want to see you, I want to spend time with you. My joy, seeing you, you are the joy, you bring joy into my life. My crown, you bring the pride, the everything I can boast of, and you are dear, my dear friend, beloved. Can I say that? Relent telling people that you belong part of my life? Most our relationship is really miserable. Friend, and I usually ask you how many friends you have. When you're young, you have a lot of friends, but you grow up, you don't have much friends. When you come to church, you hardly know people. You are tolerate people. Sometimes you look at them, you see, and you don't want, because you know that you come near to people will be troublesome. But here, the scripture say us, put for us one thing, a relationship in Jesus Christ, in faith, there will transformation relationship, that if that person become my joy, my crown, beloved, deeply longed for. Incredible. Most of us will be satisfied with some kind of relationship. We keep distant. We put everything in there in order to survive. Because I had to survive myself. I had to defend myself first. I cannot open myself. I don't have luxury to open myself to people. If I open it up, it will be messy. But that's exactly the way that we limit the gospel. We fail to live the gospel. We fail to live the gospel. And Paul, sitting there in the prison, tied to another a Roman soldier, and said to people far away, therefore, you are my brother, my sister, my beloved, the people I cherish, my joy, and my crown. Hi, what happened? It happened because the life has been opened up by the grace of God. It happened because the gospel come into that life. It happened because it has been shattered. It happened because the presence of Jesus Christ in the life. Without Jesus Christ, you don't have that. And we let it be clear in the church that we sit here not because we want to tolerate each other. I know that we are different in idea, different in purpose, all that. We fight. The history of the church is ugly, it's not good. But in spite of that, we had to say this morning that God opened before my life a way to live, a way to connect with people. God opened a world of relationship totally different from the world. Can you accept this proposal? Can we throw ourselves into this invitation and live fully so that at the end of our life we can say, yes, these are people dear to me, beloved, my joy, my crown, and I long for brother and sister. Now, that put you and me into this passage. Paul is not talking to stranger. Paul is not talking to a crowd. Paul is not giving his information, his exhortation to the world. Paul is talking to people so dear to him. People share faith. People share the common destiny with him and said, what I write to you here is not just for fun. It's just something added for flavor. What I write to you here is the flesh and blood of our life. I'm sitting in the prison, I write to you because you're so important to my life. Without you, my life would not be complete. So let us see this one. So when Paul said these words, he said to people, it's so dear to him, he doesn't want those people walk away, move away from the gospel. So you can see the passion, you can see the earnestness of Paul wanting to talk to his people. And then he said, now in verse 1, there stands you how you should stand firm the Lord, dear friends. Stand firm. You have two legs. You have to stand. You don't lie down. To stand, you need a lot of energy. To lie down, you need energy. When your body is parallel horizontally with the earth, you don't need any energy. You stick there. But when you stand against the gravity, the power of gravity, then you need energy to stand firm in the Lord. In there, show you the sphere where you stand. The sphere of our life is in the Lord. And where? You stand in the Lord firmly, my friends. A place to stand, where is it? In Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ, come to us, save us, bring the salvation to us. But when we come to know him, then I had to stand in that. I had to use that. I had to make it my own. The faith is not something throw it out there. The faith is something go through my flesh and blood, through every cell of my body, everything of my life, participate in that. So stand firm in the Lord. There's a place to stand, and you know that place, and you had to use your energy to stand on that place. Now, the first one, I would like to use the idea of hiking because I do a lot of hiking. I do a lot of hiking, and when I first go hiking, I don't know much, but now I know a little bit more. I read a lot about that. In last year, February, I was in the wilderness down in Chicago, in San Diego. I met several one of them talk, and I look at four of them walking to hiking. I know that they are on the high Pacific Crest highway. So they walk from the border of Mexico. They will be end up in the border of Canada. They will start in late January and they will finish up there in October. And in the hiking world, the people who went through that hiking, Pacific Crest hiking, is had a badge of honor. Everyone in him has a small batch here that means that they spend so many months walking from Mexico to Canada. So you see that here is when you do hiking, you only have a lot of things. I look at this passage. I think that I look at the way I see Paul is talking about hiking, our spiritual hike. And he talk about the whole system. It's not just one step, but he talk about the whole journey. And here the first one is a place to look where you are. That's the first one. Hey. In the place where you look where you are. In verse 15, we read this one. all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. The word already obtained there is achieve, arrive. Where he used the word walking. He used that all of us who mature, who complete mature, should take away. He said that only if we had to live, the NIV translated live up there is the word walk. Only you walk to what you have already arrived. So here Paul talking about Christian life as walking. And the journey, Christian life is a journey, has a starting point and a destination. And so he said here, now, after he talked about his life, he said, you too, you look at your life, where you are right now at this moment. You have a journey, you already start that journey. Now you look at your life, that at the moment where you are in your spiritual journey. Yes, this morning, some of us in the teen, some of us in early 20s, some of us is in the 30s, 40s, and I am in the 70s. So you see that each one of us is at the point of our life. You think differently. You live differently because you're in the early 20s, in the 20s. I'm the 70s. I live differently. My body is differently. I live in time. We live in time. We live in life. We live in time. We talk about life. Life is different to each one of us. So when we come to Scripture, here, this passage, God is dealing with each one of us at the place that we are right now. At the time of your life. At the moment now, you find yourself in your life. You are in the 20s. What you have to think of is different for me, a man in the 70s. Yes, all of us are following Jesus Christ. Some of us in the 50s. Yes, the agenda you have is different from the 20s. Yes, accept God has led you to in time to this time, your age. In that given age, you have a certain task to do. A certain job you have to finish. If you don't finish those tasks given to you in that time, you will be late. If you finish what given you in that period of time, you'll be ready to move next to the next stage. Chronologically, you will age every year. But mentally, emotionally, and also psychologically and spiritually, you will not grow unless you are intentional to grow. So I intended to grow when I understand what's given to me at this moment of my life in order to finish this one. If I don't finish this one, my life will be unfinished. I will go on. I have one more year, but I am behind the schedule. When my age moves on, I'm not ready to deal with the new task, new commitment, and new requirement. So this morning you sit here, every one of us. God has led each one of us to certain point of life. Certain level of experience, of grace, of understanding, and of faith. You cannot live my life. I cannot live your life. But the fact is, you have to live your life. You have to finish, understand the task facing you, and do it. So what Paul said, I'll talk to you about my life, but you have your life. Look at what God do in your life, where God put you now. Realize that. Don't dream. That's what. Look at what is in front of you, what is in front of your nose. Unless I understand what's given to me practically, and I understand accurately what I'm facing at this moment, I cannot live my life fully. I cannot make progress unless I deal thoroughly with the task given to me at this moment, at this year, at this time. If you are in high school, your task is to finish your high school well. If you try to cut short, or you try to do the sloppy job in order to move on life, you won't be able to deal with life in the next level. If you are in college, then the calling for you is to face your life in college squarely and go through those 4 years with wholeheartedly, so that you get something out of that 4 years that God gave you. If you do not know Jesus Christ, and you don't mean to, you don't want to bring Jesus Christ into your college life, then it will be a different story. And then you have to do your college life by yourself, with different idea and different purpose. But if you understand that, if you walk these 4 years in college, is given to you by Jesus Christ, and then you embrace these 4 years fully, because this mind, this heart, this body, everything is given to you at this moment. It's not accidental, but it's crucial that your life will be accomplished and move on to the next level. If you fail on that, and you have to go back and pick up the piece and do it again. And if you're given a job to do, you graduate and go out and do the job in the world, and you know that from the 30, 40, and you have to work until you're 70. And then what is it that in this decade of working hard, most people working some money in order, you live your life and then enough money to retire. But what is it that all these best years of your life, I put in, exchange every breath of my life, every time of my life, for money, for what? What do I want to achieve in the life? Is that the house? Is that the money? Is that all that? Is that, as they say, he who wins who have most toys? Is it about toys? What is it? If Jesus Christ has something to do with my working life, something to do with that horrible pressure I had to take. And if I walk into my marriage, what is it in marriage? Around me, marriage was broken. What is it that God wants to be? Give me in this marriage. It's not enough to have a partner, but what to make out of marriage is not an easy thing. So as God leads you to the stage, the place you are right now, look hard, understand where you are, think of these things. What I say to you here, if you're mature, then take, if you're mature, then you take such a view of things. Look at life, take a view of things. All these chaos, all these complicating, have to look at that, see the meaning of it, understand it, where you are. Unless you understand, you have no chance to be successful in your task given to you now. So he said that even if on some point you think differently, then that too God will make clear to you. Grab that word, clear to you. God will reveal to you. God to make it clear to you. God is not silent. God is not play a game of hide and seek with you. God wants to make it clear to you about your marriage, about your study, about your work, about everything on this point. So if you have a different idea, then look at that. God will make it clear for you. So only the condition is you have to go on from where? From where you are now. You see the discipline? You see the calling? that we ourselves are called to see what in front of us God gave us. Grasp it and live fully. Understand clearly. You see the word here, the word in understanding. Understanding. Some of us think that we come to the church. We believe God. We believe only in emotion. No, it's clear mind. To arrive, to achieve where you are and where your next step will be. That's very important. If you don't know where you are, you don't know the next step. And the next step will be there. Think clearly. When the Spirit of God come into your life, the mark of the Spirit in your life is your life become clear. Your mind become clear. He is the law of your thinking. And the product of it is you clear. So, a place to look where you are. Next. The place to look for the guys. In hiking, we always look for the people who have more experience than us and the guys. Join with others in following my example, brothers. Take note of those who live according to the pattern we give you. So you come in here. You don't know the trail. You don't know the condition of the trail. You don't know whatever in there. You better learn. You just don't walk on Pacific hike trail by yourself. You need companion. You need people hiking with you. You need all the guide. You need all the preparation. You need the detail. So look for the guys. And Paul said the same in the spiritual life, in the Christian life. There are people. There's community of faith. You are, God didn't save you singly, individually. God saved you personally, but not individually. God saved you, God put you into the life of the church. Other people follow the same. Other people went before you. We have a history. The holy history of people who follow God on the cross are the page of history. We hear their voice. We see their life. We can look at the scripture and see they're talking to us, how they lead their life, and how they follow God. So I looked at the guy, and Paul said, immediately I'm standing here, I write to you, I sit in prison, and you look at me. Not why I say, but you get my life. I'm not preaching a word, but I rule my life before you. Imitate me. Follow me in every detail of life. And not merely me, but there are other people in the church too. Put their life on the line. And they live that faith out. So you are not in the dark. You look at them. How they live, how they conduct their life, and follow. This is a grace of God to give us the people walking with us. It's a good thing in marriage. It's companionship. Somebody walk with you, experience with you, spend time with you, sharing with you, and even risk their life for you. And in the matter of faith, we are not alone. The temptation for me to shut myself up in myself and be lonely. But I understand that I need to come out. I need to crack the shell and come out to people. I need to be connected deeply with the pattern of life of Jesus Christ given to the church. You have to understand this one. Why we come to the church? This is mere people. People like you. They sin. They do all crazy things. But deep in their life is God commit the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, everything they have, all the resource of heaven, everything God has, put into, in other words, for you and me to live the life that God called. I look at other people. How
they cry? How they are shattered? How they do? How they patiently pick up pieces and live?
My parents were converted from Buddhist halfway through. My brothers was raised up when my parents were Buddhist. But I was raised up when my parents was became Christian, so they tried hard to give me a Christian living. And I never understand that how come my mother's a peasant woman only learned to read and write, learned to read, cannot write. And she raised me, and I have been travel. I go to to England and everywhere study, contact with all sorts of people. How is that my parent, my mother, an old peasant woman can give me such a nurturing? Because I look at back, the nurturing in my family, because I left home after seventh grade very early. And how is it that in short time, few short years, my parents give me such a tremendous grounding that I'm totally well. I can face all the challenges in life in hard way, but it's because in that few years I've grown up, my parents give me that. How is that God transformed my father and my mother in such a way that they become so gentle, so firm, and so strong for me? How is that my parents give to me that such a trust in people that everywhere I go, I can trust people? Just the example of life. The grace has been flowing into your family even before you know God. The grace is flowing in the church every day. There's people, famous people, not famous, more the church, most people are not famous, but not faithfully, they nurture, they are moving on, they are on the path. Look, imitate them. Shape your life. The power of attraction. There is something attractive in the life of holiness of these people. And the power to shape life. It comes from relationship in the church. It's not merely the wisdom, the understanding of life, but also the readiness of life given at every moment. Hiking without God, I will be lost. I will be in danger. So I look for the guys. The guys, the people experienced in hiking, know the trail, know the good and the bad of trail, and helping me go through. So in this hiking of faith, you too had to look to Paul, to look at the people, shape your life. Because what is it? Why do I have to look to life? It's the shaping. Without shaping, I will be wrong shape. Life, spiritual life, focus on being shaped. Thirdly, a place to look at the map. A place to look where you are, a place to look to the guy, for the guy, designs, and a place to look at the map. We need the map. So the next few points. For I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny, their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. That is it. Paul said that, yes, I serve, I live in the church. I preach the gospel, I live with the church. I know what the gospel working out in your life, my life. But I also see that the gospel failed to materialize in many lives. And he said, now you look back into the map. The map gives you the indication where you go. And you look at the map, you compare where you are with the map. You have to know where you are in your journey. So look at the map. The map say what? And you look at your life. You compare both your life and the map. And what the map say? Here we are. I have often told you before. I have said to you many times. I talked to you many times. I repeat this one, and I had to read again. But now you see that I repeat this one with tears. Why, Paul? Why do you have to repeat so many times? Because I repeat because it's so important. Without this, you cannot live your life, your Christian life. Yeah, I consider my duty to repeat, and you see that it's boring. I got it already. You don't have to repeat me. But I have to repeat because spiritually, repetition is essential. Because you forget. Because you don't understand. You need to understand thoroughly. And you need to repeat again every time. Repeat that another level, another dimension. Go deeper and deeper every time I repeat. Yeah, but you don't like to repeat, but that the repeat is a way that the truth will work down you. But now I have to not merely repeat to you, but I tears more. I'm crying. I repeat this time. Why? Because your life is heading the wrong way. Because you lose your way. You don't see the map. What is it? Many live life as enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ. Where's the map? At the cross of Jesus Christ. It is on the cross of Christ. You see the map. He walked before. He lived this life before. He's God become man. Human being. Living human being. Everything you went through, he went through. Everything you feel, he felt. Everything you were tempted, he was tempted. So, look at him. It's at the cross. It's alive, go through in obedience to God. Alive, energized by the power of God, of the Holy Spirit. The life energized by the Word of God. The life totally focused on obedience to God. And the life given totally for people. To God. He's on the cross. Not like we're broken totally. For God, offered to God, and for people. Because that secret there, a life kept well is not affected. A life is only affected as far as it's broken. Keep it, wrap it, put it into safe. It never have anything come out of it. But bring it out into heaven, in life. Let it be broken. Let it be torn, crushed. Then you will see the effect. Then you will see the power of God working. Life flowing out of there. On the cross. Not selfishly. But totally understand and consecrate to the will of God. Do you know the will of God? Is it the ascent of your life? Or just on the margin of your life? On the peripheral of your life? It had to be at the center. If not the center, then you'll be lost. You have the name of Christian, but you are not truly Christians. Your feet wander away because your heart was stolen. Your mind was corrupted. Look at that. Therein, the people who launch themselves in that kind of life, look at that. He go backward. He goes with the end first. Their destiny is destruction. The end of that life is destruction. That I always understand. That the end of my life, that in the end of your life, you will not be young all the time. You will be 73 like me. Some of you will end up in wheelchair. Some of you will die prematurely. Or some of you will be, a heart attack or whatever. That will be the end of the whole story. You're just starting your life. So look at the end. Show me the end, O Lord. The end is destruction. Why? Because their God, the center of their life, all the value hidden inside the decision of value. This is good for me. This is value for me. This is all value for me. And I make the decision in my inner life. And I pursue it. The most precious thing of my life is my stomach. It put bluntly. It put a term that so we recoil from it, but exactly what it is, that stomach. The sensuality of it. That is my value. The decision I make, nobody knows. I sit in the church, but the decision already made. My whole system of value is sensuality. And then what is the glory in them? This is, I think, that the best thing show forth for me in my formation, performing of my life in my job, in college, everywhere. I show to people how good I am, how smart I am, and how much I accomplished. All my accomplishments stay publicly for people to see the glory. See my degree, see what I do, see my house, see my everything. I show publicly and people admire. But really, the shame. Why shame? Because look from another person, it's not glory. And now, he comes to the origin of it, the source of it. Their mind is on earthly things. Nobody knows that I'm standing here. If I don't tell you, and nobody knows what my mind's on. I don't know your mind. But when your mind's on something, and then your system will change, and then the end will come. So, look at the map, and look, compare with your life. These four. The destiny, the God, the whole value system, the glory, and the thinking. That's four things we decide. Look carefully. I'm speaking to you as young people. Your mind is so difficult, so precious. The critical point of your thinking, if your thinking wrong, it's not informed, it's not transformed by Scripture, then you sitting here, it's just a matter of time, you will leave the church, and you'll never come back again. The statistic, John Warner said, every four young people growing up in America in the church, when they finish high school, they go to college, and three of them will give up the church, never come back again. Only one left. Americans just lost all their young people. They sing in the choir, they do everything, but the whole system is gone because they're thinking wrong, not biblically. And then their glory, their performance, and then their value, and their destiny, destruction. I would like to think that I don't want to be an item or statistic. I want my life to be a person focused by God. Make a decision, go on to eternity. I don't want to be a statistic or lostness. Wouldn't you be counted? Understand this one in order to not to play church, not to play this game, but to grab your life, understand it, and move the way that will be counted for your life, for eternity. So look at the map. The map told you clearly on the cross. You contradict it. You cannot go that way. Lastly, a place to look beyond. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we are eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control, and will transfer our lowly body so that they will be like his glorious body. So much here, but the word just tumble around, but let me say briefly here. Our citizenship is in heaven. When you consider yourself, you have to consider a kingdom. Citizenship, a kingdom, an empire, the rule, the realm, the king, the power. And their contest are power here. The kingdom of God. And you belong to the kingdom of God. Your citizenship is in heaven. Make it clear. When we come here, we are Vietnamese. But now we stay here, we become citizenship of America. The same thing. When you become the you are transferred into the kingdom of God. You have your king. You have the realm of this the kingdom. You have the law. You have the rule. You live under that. So your citizenship is, and what is the privilege? It's from that place, high place there, that citizenship, you able to look forward in the future. This is the hope. This kingdom open to eternity. And when you stand in this kingdom, you look beyond life and you look into eternity. When you look in, you see what? You look, you see a Savior is coming. A Savior, Jesus Christ, God, coming. And what is it? Who is this Savior? He is by His power to subdue everything. First thing you should know, that Jesus Christ had the power to subdue everything. Everything, what is everything? On earth, under earth, in heaven. Everything. Ever imagine. Subdue under Him. Now, did you listen to that? There's tremendous war, tremendous struggle, tremendous fighting here. But the outcome will be clear. Jesus Christ subdue everything. By that power. The person who puts subdue here has tremendous power. And by that power, on that enormous level of cosmic power struggle, He has that power. But now, that power bring into the personal level your life, your body of humiliation, your body of pain, your body of sin or corruption now will be transformed by Him to conform into the body of glory, His body of glory. And speechless. The power God used to subdue, to accomplish the salvation, enormous, more than the power of create the universe. And now that power bring into my life to transfer this body of humiliation into exactly the body of His glory. Brother and sister, listen carefully. If you're on the wrong end of this fighting, it's not a good thing. But to be enter into deep experience of His power working in your life, my life, powerfully changing my body, whole everything in my life, into the glorious body like Him. That's the place to stand. That's the place God invites you and me to stand. To understand now. To follow Him. Let's pray. Lord, the quietness of this morning, we are in Your presence. Thank You for the word that spoke to my heart. It spoke to my mind too. And I pray that You grant me the grace to be open totally to You. I pray that I can open the door so You can come into my life fully. Convert my mind, my emotion, my heart my whole body into a person you want me to be. So in a brief moment like this, it's so difficult for us to think. But I pray that by the working of the Spirit in our lives, continue to teach us, continue to shape us, continue to bring us nearer to yourself. I pray that in some way that you grant me and my brother and sister here the grace to make a decision so that the result will be lasting for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray.